This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
During the song, comedian Blake Freeman just decided to roll in. How are we this evening, Blake?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
Great. How's your night been?
Yeah, pretty good. I've just been, you know, kicking around like a good boy.
Yeah, well, yeah. We saw you walking around down there and we thought, you know, why not? Why not for the 60th episode of Laugh Out Proud?
Get him up here.
Have one of the greats, Blake Freeman.
One of the greats. Yeah. I'm up there with Chris Rock, Sarah Silverman.
Definitely one of the best on the Melbourne comedy scene, I'll tell you that.
Oh, thank you. That's very
lovely. So are you a Melbourne-born comic?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I was born in like Wangaratta,
like
in the country.
Oh, wow.
And we lived there till I was like 7, and then my mum and dad split up, and my mum was like, let's go to Melbourne. And I was like,
why not?
Well, I don't know what I said. I was 7, so
yeah.
And then we moved up here, and then I've been living here ever since.
Wow. Okay, so you started comedy in Melbourne then?
Yeah. I did my first gig at this spot in Richmond, I think, when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
16?
Yeah, I had to lie to my mom and tell her that I was hanging out at a friend's. Because I was like, I didn't want her to know I did comedy, and also I didn't want her to know I was out past 9 o'clock.
So was it a solely comedy open mic, or was it...
Yeah, solely comedy. It was like a regular sort of lineup night, but it was like way more because it was like the first anniversary of that room, I think.
Oh, really?
So it was like packed, which made it so much more intimidating.
Yeah, for sure.
16-year-old kid, the bar's packed out, everyone's crushing because everyone there knows each other.
Oh,
they're
right.
Stoked. Yeah. It's the first year of that room.
Yeah.
And then I get up and I'm like, hello, everyone, with my like high-pitched voice and no shoulders yet. And I went well, which was super surprising. Yeah.
How did you go in developing those initial jokes? Did you test them out on people beforehand?
Yeah. Me, because I did it with me and my friend Brendan. We both decided that we wanted to do comedy.
Right.
So we both like wrote out our set, and then before the gig, we sat out front of this building for like an hour. Just like going over our jokes.
Yeah.
And then we would go off separately and we would do our set and time it, because that was in the time where I was like, it needs to be exactly 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And if it's longer, someone will yell at us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So we...
You'll get the light.
Yeah. So we did that, and everything went well, which was pretty lovely.
Wow.
Big fan of it.
Yeah. So how long ago was that, though? How many...
That was, probably like 5 years ago.
Wow, okay.
But for some reason, I don't consider that when I like started, because I did that gig when I was like 16, and then for the rest of the year, I did like two other gigs. I did that gig in July,
right.
And then for the rest of the year, I did two other gigs.
Okay.
And
at so the same spot?
No, different spots.
Yeah, okay.
At this... Man, there used to be this gig in... like somewhere south side at like 3 p.m, just bar on a Sunday.
Comedy during the day.
Yeah, on a Sunday too, when everyone's hungover with their mates and they just want to have like a palmer or something.
Yeah.
And then there's just this 16-year-old like little boy just trying to live his dream.
Yeah.
And so those gigs were a nightmare. And then I started properly, I think, at the 2013.
Okay, so what were some of the rooms around back then?
Oh, man. God damn, I feel old now talking about this. It was like called On Top Bar was the Sunday one.
Okay.
And there was a gig called 100% Nuts in like Brunswick.
Right.
And then there was like Station 59.
Station 59.
That was where I did my first gig.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kieran.
Yeah. And... Man, what other room? I'm not too sure.
Nah.
I legit have the worst memory. if it didn't, like doing the set is the only reason I remember that night.
Yeah, because
it was the most nervous I'd ever been. Like, had I just been going out that night, I'd have no fucking memory.
Yeah, no.
So what made you like get into comedy itself? Like, what was the initial seed? What was the idea? You know, were you watching comedians? Were you?
Yeah. I remember when I was like 13, my brother and I somehow, I think my uncle owned it. We got a copy of Richard Pryor's
It's
just called like Live Performance or something.
Yeah.
And we watched that, and we were just like dying laughing. And we watched it on like, do you remember portable DVD players? Just like in our room. And we were both dying laughing, and I was like, this is sick.
Was that his first, that was the first ever like stand up theater in a theater, like recording?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Showed it at cinemas and everything like that. Yeah, yeah.
Gives it more significance. Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, I remember watching that and then being like, oh, comedy's so cool, but I'll never do it. And then a couple years later, I met my friend Brennan, who's like, was at the time and still is like my best friend. And we both like loved comedy.
Right.
Yeah. And we would like always watch comedy stuff together. And then one day he was just like, hey man, I think I'm going to do stand up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, really? And then in my head, I was like, well, if he's going to do stand-up, I can do stand-up. And like that, like a bit of a douchey moment on my part. I was like, I'm probably funnier than him. And then we did it. Yeah.
Right.
That was like, oh no, I remember the first time I ever heard stand-up comedy.
Oh,
I was
live? Okay, or?
Yeah, I'm warming up.
I'm liking it, yeah.
I love it.
I mean, it's 20 to 1 at night. It's the best time to warm up.
I've got a Red Bull, mate. I'm not going to bed anytime soon.
It's starting your Friday off
kicking
right.
Kicking in,
you know?
We can tell, Blake.
I was on a plane when I was like, I'd have been like 9. And because my grandma had like won tickets for some cruise ship, so she took my brother and my sister and my mum, and on the plane to Sydney, I was like flicking through the channels and I heard Ray Romano, and he was talking about like jeans or something. He was talking about something silly, and I was like, this is so funny. It's so weird. It's talking about pants. I like pants.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. Anyone can relate to pants. And that was the first time I ever heard comedy, and I was like, this is awesome.
Wow,
like,
so Ray Romano is almost your comedy dad.
Yeah.
It introduced you to comedy.
I mean, how could he not be? He's like everyone's comedy dad.
What about Jerry? What about Jerry Seinfeld? What about...
I have not seen too much Jerry Seinfeld stand-up, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Not going to lie.
Oh, wow.
Seen like Seinfeld, but never watched too much of his stand-up.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's just a guy that I missed.
Yeah.
Like, I never really watched it.
What about Chris then? Chris Rock?
Chris Rock, I'm a big fan of. Yeah. I have on DVD The Chris Rock Show.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite interviews is the interviews with, what's his name, George Carlin and Busta Rhymes.
Oh, right.
What a different two people. But I loved both of their interviews.
I love the rawness of that show. It always felt like the interviews were pretty candid, as candid as they can get on a late night talk show. But yeah, that, like, it always felt, those beats were always always felt like real talk, you know?
Yeah. And like also the sketches, a lot of the sketches were like real intent. Mm. Like, there were some like pretty brutal sketches.
My favorite one was, I think it was probably one of the first episodes of the Chris Rock Show, was where he went around to all his ex-girlfriends'
places
of work on Valentine's Day. And was like, here, oh, thanks for breaking up with me. Here's,
oh my God.
Here's where I am today.
Oh, that's so brutal. It's so funny, though.
Can't wait to do that.
That's awesome, yeah. Are you breaking up with me? No. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm your replacement, mate. Get out of here.
Oh, no.
But, so you've been in the game 5 years. So,
yeah.
So you've done comedy. How long did it take you to get into your first sort of comedy festival show?
I did a split show with Luca Muller, who's like another Melbourne guy. Probably I've been doing it for a year and a bit, and then we did that comedy festival. We just did like a split show and just kind of mucked around, and it was a lot of fun. But looking back on it now, I'm like, oh God, I can't believe I made people pay for that. Like, like that was such a ruckus. Like, God damn.
Really, in what way? Like, the looking back, like, at your material?
Yeah, the material. Like, man, there are times where I look back at like old sets and I'm like, what is the punchline? Like, I don't know what people are laughing at. I don't know if it's just
maybe the delivery.
Like, yeah, I honestly think so. Like, I'm filling out the beats of a joke, and people are like, ha, all right, like, oh, maybe that one flew over
but it's
my
also,
head.
Yeah, it's also like stage presence and stuff like that. But I mean, we've seen you a number of times, and it's also, you know, it's owning the stage, and the stage presence is, you know, sometimes enough, you know, to get that.
I think so. I think I'm a better performer than I am writer, and I think my performing can carry me a fair bit.
Yeah.
Just because, like, there are times now where I'll write a bit and I'm like, I'm going to try this, but I know it's not that good, but I'm going to try to convince people that it's sick just by being loud about it.
So, like, if you, in those instances, performances, have you worked out a punchline already, or are you going up there with a half-baked and you're going to sort of work out that punchline?
Definitely half-baked. Usually, sorry, for me, it's like I need to do the bit even with no work on it, and even if I'm like, I don't know what the punchline is,
yeah,
but just like that thing of saying it out loud,
yeah, yeah,
then gets me in the rhythm of like putting a joke, yeah, in somewhere. Because I'm okay, like, okay, well, there's a part, like, I stopped here, so that means there should be a joke here.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
yeah,
why,
yeah,
am I pausing unless there's not like a punchline?
Yeah,
or I'm not,
yeah,
building, yeah, tension in some way.
Okay, yep, yep.
So, yeah, saying it out loud definitely is like the main thing for
but
me.
But that, with that confidence, from your first set, you said it was very structured.
Yeah.
It was very, all right, this is every beat for that 5 minutes. How, yeah, long did it take to get that, I guess, confidence where it's just like, no, I can go on stage now, I've got that,
oh, like,
ability to be there, that presence.
2 years.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I also think I felt like I had to in some way figure out how to get people's attention without the bits, because in my head when I was like 17, I'm like, if I was like 25 and I saw a 17-year-old get on stage, I'm not going to listen.
Yeah,
I'm going to talk about,
yeah,
Microsoft,
yeah,
PowerPoint or something.
Yeah.
And like their teacher. That's, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to be engaging before I even do a bit.
Mm.
And yeah, so I think that's where like developed like that. It was like fake confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
like, yeah, the character comes,
yeah, yeah,
out.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's pretty much like a persona.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that comes, yeah, to, you know, a lot of people don't switch onto the stage,
yeah,
that first time,
yeah, yeah,
with,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Or it changes if they come.
Oh, out. I think I've changed a fair bit, yeah, like, as a comic. And, like, I'm 21, so...
Yeah, that evolution, yeah, exists. Yeah. So, yeah,
so I'm hoping that I keep evolving,
yeah,
and getting better.
So do you feel like you've really found your voice as a comedian? Like, you've found...
For where you're at now, yeah, I guess, yeah.
I don't know if I've found my voice, but I've found what I really enjoy doing, which is trying to talk very earnestly about something and making it funny.
Mm.
Like, I went through like a super brutal breakup at the start of the year,
yeah,
and I was like, okay, how can I talk about this and make it earnest but also real funny in a 5-minute set?
Yeah.
Like, not,
yeah,
a show, because like, you, yeah, can do that throughout a show and people will grow to like you and stuff, and like they'll be more connected to you.
Mm.
But it's like 5 minutes.
But 5 minutes. Yeah, how does someone connect to you?
Yeah.
So I tried to be earnest, and I tried to avoid doing like going down the easy road,
okay,
and like being like, okay, I could say something here, or I could wait and just find something genuinely funny like at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, that was like a, yeah, thing I tried to do. And I feel like I'm doing it pretty well.
Yeah.
It's still like a struggle because it's making me, a young, dumb kid, have to be like introspective, and I'm like, I don't know how to handle this. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to do this.
But it makes for better material, though.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's like, it's interesting, and I think it throws people off a little bit, because at first they're like, okay, here's some young dummy, he's going to talk about, oh, bloody beer is crazy. And it's like hearing him try and talk genuinely
real
about
shit,
something,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm pretty stoked on that, and, yeah, I hope, yeah, people can connect with it regardless of how old they are.
And Blake Freeman has still decided to join us during that song. We appreciate it, Blake Freeman.
He was breaking it down.
He was breaking it down. We were doing some serious dance moves that we had, yeah, no idea about.
They looked original.
They looked very original. What would you,
I didn't rip them off from anyone.
No, I hope not.
What would you call it, Blake? What would you call that dance move?
What would I call those dance moves?
Yes.
They were pretty insane.
The Mad Dog.
Oh,
the Mad Dog. Represent.
Shout out to Mad Dog.
I forgot all about Mad Dog. I was just saying a funny name.
That was probably the first time we actually met. Out the front of Mad Dog. Do you remember that time?
Yeah, that would have been...
Do you remember that time?
Like
last year or something like that.
Last year?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn, I was literally going to say, was that like 2 years ago?
Yeah, no.
I have no concept of time.
That's funny.
I really don't.
Yeah, no, it got dramatic that one night we were there.
It got very dramatic. Do you remember that night?
Oh, was that the night?
Yeah, here it is.
That dude had like a seizure.
The guy had a seizure.
Man, my favorite part about that, this is probably my like St. Auburn side, but like the most gangster part about that was the guy had a seizure, and then he was like sitting back on his bench, and then he was like, can someone roll me a dart? And I was like, god damn, you just had a seizure.
And
like,
he's bleeding from the head. We're waiting for the ambulance. It's just like,
he's just like smoking a dart. Like,
priorities,
so
mate.
Funny.
Probably
the most Australian thing you can do.
I forgot all about that. That room is so
you get a Mad Dog, you know?
Yeah, that's the mixed bag.
There was one time, there was a guy who used to go to that gig all the time.
Right.
His name was, should I say his name?
It rhymes with?
Arcel.
Chris Parnell, no?
You nailed it.
There he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doing drop-ins.
There was a guy there who... One time when I was going into the city real late when I was like 14 because I used to do sin.
That's right.
Am I allowed to talk about
that? Yeah,
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 yeah. We're going in on the train at like 11:30 at night.
Right,
I was like
crazy.
13, 14.
Far.
And this guy come up to us. Like, he was not sober, I'll say that.
Yeah,
and he was also eating sesame seed crackers with a like a can of tuna. He was like dipping and scooping.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a wild man. And he pulled us aside at one point and was like, all right, guys, I got three bits of advice for you.
Gosh, okay.
First thing, kick the bullies out. Kick them out. Which,
good.
Kick them out of good. Where? Like, where are they? Second thing was, let's just say, have sex as often as possible, was what he said.
Uh-huh.
And then he leaned over to me.
Uh-oh.
This is real crazy. He leaned over to me and just said, like, hey, get a 16-year-old pregnant. I did.
Perfect life advice from this fella.
Yeah. Well, he's given it at 11:30 on a train.
Was he an old wise man, or
he was? Yeah, let's say that.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah,
and then the last one, he just went. My third thing. This is most important. Top of the world, which again makes no sense. It doesn't mean anything.
He's a flat world theorist.
Yeah.
He's constantly on top of the world. Yeah.
So weird.
Wow, what a crazy. But yeah,
but he used to go to Mad Dog.
Oh wow. Okay, so, to go up.
Yeah.
And was that part of his set? These three pieces of advice?
I would love if he closed with that. Like, yeah.
Far out.
He doesn't know it's comedy. He thinks it's inspirational talking.
Spoken jazz.
Yeah.
But what other spots around Melbourne do you like to hit up? What are your favourite rooms?
Favourite rooms? I really love doing the open mic at Voltaire.
Okay.
Voltaire in North Melbourne. It's really great. It's run by like a real cool crew. And it's a lot of fun and like super supportive for like new acts, which is awesome.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
If you've been doing it for some time, you can come in and try some stuff out.
Right, huh?
Which is a lot of fun. The more like the like higher up sort of shows that are really great and really fun to do is like Crab Lab in the city.
Yeah, right.
That's like awesome. I've done that a few times and always have like the best time.
Right.
That and what else, man? There's so many good rooms now.
What about Spleen?
Spleen's great, man. Oh, I love. Last time I did Spleen, for some reason for Spleen, I always get super nervous. Don't know why.
Yeah.
I've done it like a few times.
Is it because it's one of the higher regarded rooms in the Melbourne comedy scene?
Yeah, I think that's it. And like I'm pretty well established, I think.
Yeah,
like,
for sure, definitely.
But there is still part of me that's like, oh, don't want to bomb at the good room because I'll never get booked again.
Carl won't book you anymore.
And I think it's also like because there's like the backstage part, which like in Melbourne, not a whole lot of rooms have like a backstage.
Oh, it's more of the back of the room.
Yeah, back of the room kind of vibe, which is like cool. But like coming from backstage and then just being placed in front of like 80 people, you're like, what is
I'm in
this?
The business.
Like, yeah. You're like, this is so intimidating.
Awesome.
Because you're just backstage, like on your phone, like looking at your set list, and then you're in front of 80 people who are just like, we want to have fun. And you're like, oh, you're not my phone. I don't know how to do that. Like,
how do I get here?
Yeah, it really is like a blackout moment. Like,
all right, the lights just. Yeah.
Imagine if you went out drinking, blacked out, and then you woke up and you're on stage at a comedy show, and you're like, oh, jeez, God, I need to stop. Like,
that was a Vice doco, was that let's do acid. And do stand-up.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he wasn't a stand-up, though.
I think he was just a guy.
Yeah, so I don't know how that would
which
go.
Which, I've never done acid, but, like, I mean...
But you have done stand-up.
So, yeah, I'm halfway there.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
So, you've done one comedy festival with Luca, you said.
Yeah.
Have you done any other festival shows or experiences such as that?
Yeah. I did a show last year with Murphy McLaughlin. We did another split show.
Yeah,
I'm still on the fence about doing a solo show because I'm like I'm 21. I have time to get better.
Yeah.
I don't need to rush into doing a solo show. And also, it's the same thing of like I don't know who wants to listen to a 21-year-old for an hour. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. Who would be into that?
We would.
Yeah, I feel like you're too hard on yourself a little bit. Yeah.
You two are gorgeous.
Oh, I'm getting fuzzies. Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, so I haven't really... I don't have any plans to do a solo show for probably... like a couple of years or so. Yeah. Until, unless I have like an idea that I'm super stoked on or something.
Okay. But doing your own solo show would also come with, you know, fronting the costs, the full front. Yeah.
Oh, God damn. Yeah. I do not have that in me. I bought a Rebel before and I'm like, God, why? Just get a V. You can't do this.
Premium.
Yeah.
So have you done stand-up around the country?
I wouldn't say around the country. I've been to Adelaide a few times. I love going to Adelaide during the Fringe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's so much fun. Like, it's such a pleasant environment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, like, the Fringe Club is super lovely. Everyone's super excited that they're in another city.
What's
and
the comedy scene
show.
Like in Adelaide?
I'm not too sure. There's a lot of Adelaide acts have moved over to Melbourne, and they're all awesome.
Right.
Like,
okay.
People like Lewis Dowell, Pat McCaffrey, Patrick Carl, Angus Hodge, like, all real funny people. Yeah. Carla Wills, who just moved over, real great.
Right. All from Adelaide.
Yeah, all Adelaide people, and they're crushers. And it's like, oh man, it's it seems like real lovely over
there. Some gold out of Adelaide.
Yeah.
Must be all the churches.
And in fact, there's nothing else to do there.
Yeah, except just work on your bits.
Yeah.
They've got all the time in the world.
So how does our Adelaide audiences compared to Melbourne audiences then?
I don't. That's a thing that I always struggle with. With comparing audiences, just because in my head, whenever I'm doing a show, the thought that goes through my head, like if I'm in front of like a big crowd or if I'm at a gig like Spleen where I'm nervous, my thought is like, it's just jokes in front of people.
Yeah.
And I have the same thing when I go to like Adelaide, I'm like, it's just jokes in front of people.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. The one thing that I have noticed is with Adelaide, more people come to shows because there are less. Whereas in Melbourne, there's like 50 shows a week. So it's hard to spread that. So like the gigs are more fun because it's like they're always usually packed, whereas there are times you can do a gig in Melbourne where there's like five people.
And it's usually like free gigs as well in Adelaide, or do they?
I think a lot of pay. Most are like pay, but there are like some free ones as well.
So have you thought about doing any sort of, I mean, I guess I was going to say, or you're 21, so I mean a bit early, what about like writing for shows or like,
I would love to do that, because like before my friend was like, I'm going to do stand up, our thing was like, we wanted to write, like we wanted to be writers. But then once I did start writing, I was like, oh god, I don't know if I'm the best writer. I'm a real good performer, don't get me wrong, I'm amazing,
but you are
what a tool. But yeah, I would love to like do something like that in the future, like write for a show. That would be amazing, being able to be like, my ideas are what that's beautiful.
Watch your jokes be played out by
it sounds awesome.
All these different vessels.
In your writing style, are you more of a I'll write down one or two words in my phone and then sort of extrapolate that on a notepad later on, or like how do you note take?
I'll have the idea. What I do is I'll have an idea, and if the idea sticks with me for like 3 days, then I'm like, I'm going to write it down. Because if it's just something that I think in the moment and then forget, I'm like, well, that probably stunk anyway. Because like if my brain's like, I hope that my brain's constantly like mining for material.
Yeah.
So if it found that and was like, granite, and just threw it away, I'm like, well, I don't need it.
Have you ever let any bits go? Because I'm sure like we've got so many bits where it's like, what were we talking about before?
Yeah.
And it's gone forever.
Yeah, that's always so brutal. Like, there are times where I'll be at work and I'll be like, oh, I think that's like a really good joke.
Yeah.
Like, I think I cracked comedy. And then
I've worked it out.
Like, I'll remember the basic idea of it, but I can't remember the wording of like the joke. And I'm like, oh god damn, I was so close.
The worst is just remembering the feeling of, oh, I had that idea.
Like, I know I had a great idea, but I don't remember anything.
Where did it end up? And now we're here. No.
That's why we try and write everything down that we talk about.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I'm still taking notes as we speak.
I got
some
stenographer. You've recorded this whole conversation.
What was the last thing we said after it's Z and G?
On Joy 94.9.
All right, I'll start from there.
So are you doing any shows during the Fringe right now?
No, nothing during Fringe. I'm doing like a little spot on a friend's show.
Okay.
That's called Like Memes But Live.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. It's pretty cheeky. So I'm doing like a little spot on that, which should be fun. But other than that, I've just been seeing shows. I went and saw the Traveling Sisters show.
Okay.
And, they're like working on a new show. So funny.
Really?
So great.
Yeah,
highly
yeah.
recommend.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, they're all good people and super funny, which is awesome.
And where can people get you on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams?
I don't have Twitter, don't have Instagram.
No.
I live in the moment, bro.
That's it. That's it. When you're rich, you just see it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So what whenever I plug stuff, I just like tell people to add me on Facebook. So if you guys, if anyone's listening and wants to add me on Facebook,
right
just
on.
Type in Blake Freeman. My profile picture is me naked, but like,
okay.
Don't let that discourage you.
Blake has a
you know what to look
ass.
For. Yeah,
he has a fantastic ass. Oh. So it's
but you have to find it for yourself.
You have to find it for yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's pretty easy to find. The other Blake Freeman is a guy. Like hanging out a car with a hat on. Like, if you see that, you've gone too far.
Oh, so how many friend requests then does that equal if you just tell people to add you? Does that mean it must make you feel good when you open and you have like 8,000 friend requests? Like, you know,
oh,
like,
it is pretty great when I get a few. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's so wild. And a thing I was doing for a while, a friend has a podcast and I would give out my phone number.
Right.
And so I did get texts from that, people being like, I listened to you on Beer Eye with your mates, guys.
Oh,
and
that's
I'd,
awesome.
But I never had credit to reply.
Oh,
so like,
no.
So they would send a text being like, this is cool, I'm messaging the guy. And then me just not responding, they're like, what a douche. Like, he thinks he's too bloody hot. Hollywood for us.
Got a critic.
But thank you so much for coming in, Blake. Really.
That's all right.
Appreciate.
Thanks for having us on, man.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.